What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, we have extra big deals for a very limited time, so you can get Dad the gift he's been wishing for. Get a free select Craftsman, DeWalt, or Kobalt battery when you buy a select combo kit. Plus, save $90 on a Kobalt 24-volt battery string trimmer and leaf blower combo kit. Now $129. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hi, friends. How are you today? My name is Bailey Sarian, and today was Monday, which means it's Murder, Mystery, and Makeup Monday. If you are new here, hi, my name is Bailey Sarian, and on Mondays, I like to sit down and talk about a true crime story that's been heavy on my noggin, and I do my makeup at the same time, except you're listening to the podcast, so I am not doing my makeup. You are listening. You should feel special because this is a podcast exclusive. I've actually been sitting on this story for a while and I don't know why. I think because, I'm not sure, but it's called the Fall River Cult. And it's pretty graphic, just a little disclaimer. They're all pretty graphic, but I think in this one it's really intense. Let's get into today's story. The Fall River Cult. Yeesh. Our story starts off with Robin Murphy. It was said that Robin Murphy, at only 17 years old, had a hold on people other than her. Like, she knew how to manipulate everyone around her, even the police. Even though she was involved in 3 murders, she was able to negotiate her sentencing. Robin had met Andre, or Andy, who was a pimp in Fall River when she was only 11 years old. And this man, Andy, he was in his 30s, so she was completely taken advantage of and became a sex worker for him. I guess Robin was hitchhiking, and Andy pulled over to pick her up, and from there, everything just went downhill. He gave her pills and began performing sexual acts on her. In his trunk, I guess he carried a dildo and, like, all of his pills for whenever the mood striked, or he picked up, like, another girl. I'm like, this is what we know of the beginning of Robin Murphy and the pimp slash satanic cult leaders of Fall River. So Robin and Andy were close because he controlled everything that, you know, she did. And when Robin turned 13, she began dating older guys. And Andy would track her down with these other men and, like, pull up to her car and beat on the car, like, intimidating her. And he told her that he would call the cops on the men because she was a minor, so she would reluctantly go with Andy. Once she would get out of the car, he would then, quote, like, beat the shit out of her. The next 4 years of Robin's life are murky, and she was known as, like, a notorious liar in court. So Robin worked as a sex worker in the territory called Bedford Street, but this territory, quote-unquote territory, was, like, run by the pimps Carl Drew and then that Andy guy that found Robin. So the pimps and prostitutes, as well as other drug addicts on and around Bedford Street, participated in the satanic cult led primarily by Carl Drew and Andy Malteus. February 1979, Karen Marsden entered the picture working as a sex worker for Carl Drew. That summer, Karen and Robin had met through Drew, and both of them began a relationship at that point, along with other pimps and prostitutes, and they also attended Drew's satanic ritual meetings. The police seemed to be very aware of this quote-unquote satanic cult, but, like, you know, they just thought, like, whatever, they're just doing their little old thing. Like, there was nothing coming of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Plus, it was said that there were undercover cops who attended the seances under the high school bleachers and in apartments. So, I don't know what the fuck is going on in this town, but there's something going on in this fucking town. There was a young girl named Doreen Levesque who was only 17 when she ran away from a foster home and became a sex worker for Carl Drew. Remember, the pimp slash satanic cult leader. And Doreen had attended the satanic ritual meetings, which were hosted by Drew, like the rest of the sex workers did. Robin, who was 16 at the time, claimed that in the particularly diabolic ritual, Karen, Doreen, some other guy named Willie, and Drew were the only ones in attendance. Fall River is in Massachusetts, and on October 12, 1979, Carl Drew had a very big role in the satanic cult rituals. He was very dedicated to Satanism, and he had a tattoo of a devil's head with the inscription, "Satan's Avengers." He would always get really into the rituals and chant in a low, scratchy voice in order to conjure Satan's presence. At the meeting under, like, the high school bleachers on October 12th, Drew had performed a satanic ritual sacrifice. When I say Drew, I mean Carl Drew. This is, like, the big leader guy, okay? I'm flip-flopping between his first name and his last name, and I apologize. October 12th, he's performing a ritual. Okay, some kind of ritual sacrifice. So he takes Doreen, who's 17, remember? He bound her wrists with fishing wire, and then he stabbed her multiple times, and then stoned her. Oh, yeah, stoned her. Like, what the fuck? She was then sexually tortured at some point during that night as well, according to the medical examiner. The binds on her wrist had a ritual element to them, and I guess this ritual's purpose was supposed to offer Karen Marsden's soul to Satan. Great. Immediately after Doreen was murdered, Drew and Robin knelt by her body and began chanting. Drew cut an X in her chest and smeared the blood on Robin's forehead and said, "Now you're one of us." Oh, God. Get some real fucking hobbies, huh?
Transform your home in one weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
After the sacrifice, Karen tried to, I guess, sever ties with Drew and the satanic cult. And I guess when she was doing so, I guess it freaked her out, but they would argue pretty often. And then Drew began to, like, threaten her life. Like, you can't effing leave. It's unclear why Doreen was chosen for the sacrifice, but the court had believed it was because Doreen wanted to leave the cult. Like, she had already been a part of it, and I guess she had wanted out, and then that's why they decided to sacrifice her. But that's just what they believed. No one really knows. Not even a month later, on November 7th, 1979, Robin and Andy, they were at a bar until midnight. Andy had been seeing 22-year-old Barbara Raposa, and they had been seeing each other for quite some time. He believed that he was the father to her infant son, even though that was never confirmed, but he played daddy, I guess. Barbara had decided to leave the life of sex work and end her relationship with Andy. On this night, Barbara was getting ready to go on a date with a man named David Cowan. They plan to go to a diner and a movie after dropping her son off with the babysitter. And at some point that night, Barbara was in desperate need of money. And she told David that she didn't want to go work the street. But Barbara had David drop her off on Bedford Street and told him that she would meet up with him at a saloon later that night. Yeah, I guess she was going to do some sex work on their date. But I think, I'm not laughing at that. It's just like okay, all right. That's what happened. So at this time, Andy and Robin left the bar and like headed out to find Barbara. And I guess on the way over, Andy said that he planned on killing Barbara for dating another man, especially this guy, David. So they're looking for Barbara. They find her and they pick her up. They're like, get into the car. And I guess they offer Barbara a joint. For reasons unknown, Robin and Barbara start arguing and start fighting in the car. Maybe Barbara knew what was about to happen because it was said that they had gone to an altar, quote unquote altar, in the woods where they had previously like sacrificed animals. Andy stopped the car in the woods and pulled Barbara out to get her away from Robin. Andy got two paper bags out of the trunk and then took Barbara into the woods. Robin, I guess, stayed in the car and listened to the radio and then watched them have sex in the woods. Yeah, what the fuck is going on? I don't know. I don't fucking know. Suddenly, Robin heard Barbara screaming and she said Andy was like sitting on top of her, Barbara, holding a rock with both hands above his head. Robin said that she just like turned away and decided to just keep on listening to the radio. Andy finally returned. He put his two paper bags in the trunk and told Robin he wanted Barbara to, quote, crawl away, end quote. Andy then took Robin home. He's like, bye, have a good night. David waited in the saloon until 1 a.m. Barbara never showed. He then went searching for her and checked all of her, like, street spots. She was nowhere to be found. And the next morning, Barbara's father ended up reporting her missing. I guess when Barbara was reported missing, Andy was like, oh, I can help. Like, telling police, like, I can help you guys. I'll go searching for her. I'm like, what the fuck? I believe this was all part of his strategy and, like, filling his ego, making him think he was smarter than police. But he was like, I'm gonna help. Where is she?
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
On November 12, 1979, Andy went to the Fall River Police Station and asked an officer if she had any information on Barbara. He then asked two more times on November 26 and the first week of December. He's like, are there any updates? What's going on? I just want to help. He then told the officer the quote-unquote rumors he had been hearing on the street about Barbara's whereabouts. Around the same time, Andy showed up at the home of a former classmate who was a current state trooper and told them that he knew two women who had information on the murder of Doreen, the first murder. Andy then drove to the state police barracks to speak with someone investigating the murder. And I guess he like set up a meeting with the corporal, Robin, Karen, and himself. It's believed like he wanted to establish trust with the officers so that they didn't suspect him for the murder or the second murder. After the meeting, Andy pretty often called the corporal trying to get more information about Doreen and like where the case was at. In December 1979, Karen Marsden went into hiding to get away from Drew. She moved in with Robin and a woman named Carol Fletcher, who was 24. While in hiding, Karen began meeting with an officer investigating the death of Doreen. At the same time, Drew was searching for Karen and asking questions as to where she was. And like everyone was on edge because it wasn't much of a secret that Karen was communicating with officers. On January 26, 1980, almost 3 months after Barbara was murdered, her body was found in the woods near a plant in Fall River. Her hands were bound and her skull was crushed. The next day, January 27th at 5:15 a.m., officers showed up at Andy's apartment and informed him that a body had been discovered and asked him to head to the police station. Andy had asked directly, "Is it regarding Barbara?" And police told him, "Yes." And Andy followed them in his own car to the station. When he was in interrogation, he informed the detective that he had called the state police, higher-ups, and that they would be there soon to take over the investigation. Like, he thought he was a big shot and had, like, control or something. I don't know. He was like, "Oh, the state police will be, like, handling this. Like, you don't need to be questioning me." He underwent another interview on January 29th, where he told police, quote, "I go to bed at night and sat down all the time and tried to put myself in the picture with her and in her place," end quote, so that he could try and come up with information about Barbara's disappearance. And at the end of the interview, he requested, saying, quote, "If I could go there to the site of the murder, sometimes with one of you guys, sometime, you know, just to look around, to get an idea, maybe it would help out," end quote. I guess he was trying to state that he had some kind of, like, psychic That's So Raven ability where, like, if he went to the area, maybe he could figure out what happened to Barbara and, like, help them out because he's special. On February 4th, 1980, Drew told Karen's roommate, Carol, that in the right time and the right place, he was going to kill Karen. I don't know. I guess she was, like, talking to police or something.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So, February 5th, 1980, Andy met with the corporal again to inform him about a dream that he had. He said that two angels showed him the murder of Barbara, and as he floated in the air at the treetop level, he saw a man carry a woman and drop her on the ground. He said that the woman was Barbara. Oh, God. Barbara, yeah. He said the man walked away, got an object, returned, and stood behind Barbara's head and lifted a rock up and struck her repeatedly in the face. The man was screaming at her and cursing in bad English. Barbara was screaming, "Andy, help me. Andy, forgive me." And the man said, "Andy isn't going to help you anymore." This is according to his dream. Andy said the motive for murder was a love affair. He said the killer liked Barbara, but she had double-crossed him. He said that Barbara overdosed on drugs, or else she wouldn't have gone to the woods with the man. Wow, some wild dream he had, huh? So the DA asked Andy to circle on a map where he was, quote, floating in the air, and where perhaps the murder had happened in his dream. The officers then escorted Andy to the murder site, and on the way there, they heard him say, quote, "I think they've got me now." And when they get there, they heard him also say, "I know they've got me now." When they had walked to the site, Andy told the officers he was getting vibes and visions. He then took them to the murder site in his dreams. He then reenacted the murder for the officers and told them that Barbara knew who her murderer was, like, very well, and that they had planned on having sex and was surprised when he murdered her. He's just saying way too fucking much, but, like, good thing he is, but, like, what the fuck is he doing? Andy then described the rock murder weapon and walked over to a pile of broken concrete and said, I sense a murder weapon in that pile. Yeah, I don't know what his plan was, but okay. Nearly 2 weeks after Barbara's body was found and 2 days after Andy's dream and murder reenactment, Andy was arrested and charged with Barbara's murder on February 7th, 1980. 4 days after Drew confided in Carol about his plans to kill 20-year-old Karen, and the day after Andy was arrested and charged with Barbara's murder, on February 8th, Karen, Carol, and Robin were in Carol's car, and, like, I guess they were on Karen's, quote, working street, or her old working street, because she no longer was trying to sex work. Drew and Carl Davis is a new player in the story, not confirmed, but I think he was also kind of like a leader in whatever cult they thought they were running. Drew and Carl Davis then entered the car, and Davis told Carol to drive the five of them to Family Beach in Westport. Once they arrived in the woods, Drew ordered 17-year-old Robin to drag Karen out of the car, and she did so by taking her by the hair and throat and dragging her into the woods. Then Robin and Drew began beating her with rocks. Then Drew handed her a knife and told her to slit Karen's throat. So she did. He snapped her neck, he took her pants off, and then he began raping her dead body. The fuck? I know. Oh my God. And then if you think it couldn't get worse, it gets worse. Drew then tore her head from her body and then kicked it into the woods. I'm not lying. He then marked, quote unquote, marked Karen's body. Like, he dipped his thumb in her blood and, like, made a cross on Robin's forehead. Ugh. Then they all went home like nothing happened. Yeah, it was said that Robin went home and she and Carol, quote, ate some chicken, drank a beer, and smoked a joint. Could you imagine? What in the fuck? People like that. What the? Nope. Months go by when then, out of nowhere, Drew admits to one of his prostitutes that he had, quote, killed a girl. And I guess went on to describe it in detail. He told the woman that he did it because she wanted to leave the cult and that he wanted her to feel pain. Jeez. On April 13th, 1980, police recovered a portion of Karen's skull, jewelry, clothing, bloodstained rocks, and a clump of her hair. The Barbara Raposa and Karen Marsden murders seemed to be tried sort of together in court, and Robin Murphy was, like, the key witness. She had continually admitted to being involved, and then she would backtrack and say she wasn't. Like, she had been very inconsistent and had lied a lot in court, and again, was known as, like, a notorious liar, so it was hard to take anything she was saying truthfully. Carl Drew was arrested and denied his involvement in the murders and said that he would never plead guilty to any of the murders, either of them, but he was given a life sentence without the possibility of parole. In court, Robin said, quote, I'd never have killed Karen if I hadn't been possessed. I love her, end quote. And in January of 1981, Robin pled guilty to second-degree murder. I guess Robin, she's been locked up, and she has applied for parole 3 times. Before it was granted in 2004. She then began a relationship with a known felon, and when she was pulled over for speeding, the felon was in her passenger seat with heroin. So, whoops, you know. Robin never told her parole officer and was then, I guess, sent back into custody in 2011 for violating her parole. And she has again been denied parole in 2017. But I guess she can apply every couple of years, but it's not looking good for her. Remember the guy Andy I mentioned earlier? Yeah, he was found guilty and was convicted of first-degree murder on January 30th, 1981. And he was sentenced to life in prison, and he has since died while in custody. The Doreen Levesque case was never solved, and Robin recanted her testimony, so she no longer has immunity for that crime. Now I think I remember why I never did this story, because there are so many missing parts and things that don't have a lot of background or clarification. I think what we do know is that these people were sick, right? And they believed they were in this cute little satanic cult and were killing people for no reason, when the reality was Carl and who was it, Andy, were just straight up like pimping out young girls and saying that they were running a cult and pretty much saying that the devil was involved, to like keep these girls scared and working for them, period. Like, that's what it was. And then they killed these women who wanted out, because sadly, like, police don't really go looking for sex workers. And it's like I feel like they kind of knew that, and they were so sloppy about it. I don't know. This story is just so gross. Luckily, they had gotten caught, and I hope they have lived miserable, awful lives in prison. Great. It's kind of tricky because, like, with Robin specifically, like, she was picked up at such a young age. Like, she too was a victim, but she does need to pay the price for participating in murder. You know what I'm saying? Like, two things can be right at the same time. She's a victim, but she also participated in murder. So, girl, you can't do that. You can't do that, okay? Just some life advice. You can't do that. I'm sorry if this was a little, what's the word? Missing some pieces? But what we do know is that it was fucked up, all right? But other than that, I hope you have a good rest of your day. Make good choices, please. And be safe out there, okay? And don't believe these satanic cults. They're just a trap, a way for these men to be in charge and take advantage of young, vulnerable, usually women and men. So yeah, get out of the cult, okay? Okay. I hope you have a good day. Make good choices. And I'll be talking to you next week. Goodbye.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.